unworthy. Do you feel unworthy tonight? Oh, that we would feel unworthy. Oh, that we would know we're unworthy. Oh, we could see ourselves not as gods, but all wretched failures, puny dust of the earth. But then we might see in all his lovely glory and splendor, righteousness, majesty and might, unapproachable, unfathomable. We might see the gulf between us is too great to ever span. We might see that we could never have fellowship with such a one. And then that we might see the mystery. Then we might see that glorious mystery. Then we might see that marvelous love and grace of the Almighty, who is so great and grand that he reaches down a fallen hand to man upon the earth, breathes into him a breath of life, created in him a spirit to have union with him, and begins to work, begins to walk with him, begins to share his heart with him, begins to lift him up, covers him with his blood, lifts him up into heavenly places and clothes him with his righteousness, puts his mind and heart in him, gives him a destiny, crown on his head as a son of God, as a prince of the eternal one, calls him to be a bride of Christ, a co-worker with God throughout the ages to come in his glory. And all that we might ever prostrate ourselves at his feet. No one worthy, but know we stand as amazing creatures and creations of God, filled with his presence, until God is ruling each life, until we see glory in each life, until we see Christ in each life, until we are gone, until we're hidden, until we can't find ourselves, until we see a world, until we see a church full of Christ, each one mirroring the eternal God. And oh, we might stand and sing in that redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, oh, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed, unworthy, unworthy, but oh, he's made us worthy. We might ever and always know that we are unworthy. We might never get a sense of pride to think that we're anything. We might not strut on the earth walking in our own flesh, but we might see that God in heaven above humbled himself to behold heaven and earth, reaches down to us puny creatures, loves us with an everlasting love, and it's only his great marvelous mercy and greatness that spans the enormous gap that's unfathomable and penetrates into the impenetrable, into that mystery of all mysteries, into the divine essence who fills the universe, who's made all things, who has always existed, that eternal being that we call God. And he's our Savior and our lover of our souls. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this evening a little bit about the subject I've entitled, Where Art Thou, Adam? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God knoweth that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard the voice, thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherein I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Verse 21. Unto Adam also, and unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin, and he clothed them. We are all Adams. Adam means blood of the face. We are the only creatures that God has ever created that blushes. The blood blushes to the face when we sin, and our face gets beat red. And the life is in the blood, and that life shows forth from our face, and the shame of the shines forth in the face of man. Unless his conscience be kept sealed with a hot iron. Adam means of the ground, of the Adamah. And we are the earth, from whence we come and whence we go. We turn again as dust. Adam means man, and we are man. We are Adams of the earth, created sons of God, created to have dominion, to be like God. That was his plan and his purpose. We might begin to be made like unto himself as we fellowship with him. We have all willingly disobeyed God. We have all listened to Satan, who has said, Thou shalt not surely die. But we have died. We have died over and over and over again spiritually. Every time we have disobeyed God, we have broken fellowship, and we have died spiritually. We have suffered. We've been through many a death. We have not gone on to be like him in the likeness, but we have gone down. We have died each time. And those that continue to hear the voice of Satan and to dialogue with him and to be deceived by him and to live by it and to follow him shall die eternally, the second death. We have all desired knowledge over life. He has said, You shall eat of the tree of life freely. He gave them a tree of life. And as long as they partook of that tree, there was something in it that would cause the cells to renew. And they would keep young forever. They would always keep young. They would have energy. They would have strength. And there was life. And they had life from him. And all they had to do, as God would come down and commune with them in the garden, was to just listen to God. And he would give them all the knowledge that they needed to walk by faith. They would just walk by faith in what he said. They would not know sin. They would never know it. Oh, to God that we had never known sin. Oh, to God we had never partaken of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That we had never experienced it. That we had never known all the depths and knew that we were naked and know our sins. But all that we could just walk by faith. Oh, we could just partake of the tree of life and be in our pure innocence and know nothing of sin and just walk in innocence. Just walk by faith. Whatever God says is good enough for us. But we have all had to know. We want to know. We want to be able to know why God says don't do that. We want to know what it tastes like if you do what he says don't do. We want to know what it's like out there behind those closed doors. We want to know what's behind those lights. We want to know what it tastes like to taste the forbidden fruit. We want to know what it's like to know good and evil. We want to be able to know why God says to do this and why not to do that. We have not been willing to walk by faith. We want signs. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. We want to have God tell us ahead of time. We won't walk by faith. We won't take his life. We've got to know. We've got to eat of the tree of the knowledge. We've got to know. And so we have sinned. But oh, I'm going to tell you, God is trying to get a people who will leave off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and will partake of the tree of life. He said, I am life. All you need is me. All you need is life. I will let you know. I will just lead you by my spirit. I'll come down and commune with you. You won't have to know anything but what I tell you. You just walk simply, just simply. You just be my feet. And as I move, you just move your feet. You speak as I speak, and you handle as I hand. Move out into your hands. You don't have to know a thing. You don't have to know what your ministry is going to be. You don't have to know if hundreds of people will come. You don't have to know if the building will pay for itself. You don't have to know how long it's going to take to do this. You don't have to know when God's going to call. You don't need to have to even be worried about anything that God's going to do. He's going to do what he wants to do. And if you open, you have life, and he's communing with you. You don't have to know anything. You just say, Lord, whatever is good enough. Like my little child, like Carolyn when she was just a little baby. We'd go out in the car, and she'd say, bye-bye, Dada, bye-bye. And that's all she said. She never said, where are we going? How long is it going to take to get there? Are you sure you have enough gas? Are you sure you know the way? Is it a safe route? How long are we going to stay? Do we have coats and cases late in the evening? Will we be back home soon? Didn't ask all those questions. Just content to go. Just content to go. Rachel, when he said, will you go? Will you go? She didn't say, well, I've never met him yet. Well, I'll show you everything's going to be okay. Well, I'd like to go and visit him first. Well, let me have you sign a contract. Well, I want to know a lot of things first. She said, I will go. I will go. I'll trust myself in the life of Isaac, in the life of Jesus Christ. We've all clothed ourselves with our own fig leaves. We've seen our nakedness. We have contrived to make something that will clothe us so others cannot see our sins. We try to hide our sins from ourselves and from others. We try to hide behind our own religious pretenses. We try to make ourselves holy and good in the eyes of ourselves and others. We've sewed ourselves around with fig leaves, and we thought it was good enough. We have all felt naked and ashamed before the Almighty God. I'm showing that we are all Adams. We have all heard the voice of God calling to us. We have all made excuses for our sins. We've all passed the blame on somebody else. When we were at fault, we've all said it was him. It was the preacher man. It was the elder. It was the counselor. It was that thing. It was my mother-in-law. It was my husband. It was my daughter. It was my wife. It was my son. It was that church. It was my school teachers. It was somebody else. It was always somebody else. It was never us. We have all desired to be as gods. We've all wanted to be wise. We've all wanted to be looked upon. We've all wanted to be up in front. Or we've all wanted people to know that we did it. We all want to be aspired to be as gods. And God is still asking the question, where art thou? God wants to fellowship. He came down to fellowship with Adam and he had hid himself. God said, where art thou? I've come down to fellowship with you again today. Where art thou? Why hast thou hidden thyself? And again the Spirit of the Lord calls week after week. Week after week the Spirit of God is calling to his people saying, where art thou? I have come down to fellowship with thee. But thou hast hidden thyself from me. Where art thou? Why dost thou hide, my little ones? Why dost thou hide from me, from the lover of your soul? I have come down to communicate. Why is it you're too busy with a television set? Why is it you're too busy with the magazines? Why is it you're too busy with sports? Why is it you're too busy with other things? Why is it? That you never seem to have time for me. God wants fellowship, but we're hiding from him. God probes that we might see that we are hiding. He calls that we might recognize that we are indeed hiding. We have not opened ourselves up unto him. He probes that we might come out from that hiding. That we might face the sins that we have in our own nakedness and see our own self-righteousness wrapped about us and see that ere the heat of the day and the storms come up, they will wither, blow off, and fall off. And our own doings will fall to the ground. We'll stand naked again before God. He's called us so that he might come down and clothe us with his own righteousness. where are you? God would call you tonight and say, where are you? And call you by name. Would you say, Lord, I am near unto you? Or would you say, I am far away? Would you say, Lord, I'm standing right here in the sun, basking in thine own righteousness? Or would you say, Lord, I'm just standing over in the shade, in the dark? Would you say, Lord, I'm right here in the path? Or would you say, Lord, I'm off the path? I'm out of the way. Would you say, Lord, I'm standing up right here? Or would you say, Lord, I'm just lying down over there? Just lying down. We're not all in the same place. Martha was not in the same place as Mary. Judas was not in the same place as Peter. Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night, was not in that same place that he whom God Jesus loveth, John. Demas, who went on the missionary journeys with Paul, was not in the same place as that mighty apostle of the Gentiles. Samson was not in the same place as Samuel. Erasmus was not in the same place as Tyndale. Luther was not in the same place as Wesley. Finney was not in the same place as William Branham. Billy Graham is not in the same place as C.M. Ward. And you are not in the same place as the one that sits right next to you. Where art thou? In Christ or out of Christ? In the Spirit or in the flesh? Walking in revelations of God or walking by the light of your own ideas? Walking with Jesus or are you walking alone? Are you walking on the mountaintops with God or are you way down deep in the valleys of the shadow of death? Are you walking by faith or are you walking by sight? Where art thou? The very question shows that God cares. The very fact that God calls out and asks where we are shows that this great sovereign who can live without us, build a billion worlds to take our place, cares where we are. The reason for the question is not so God will find us. He knows where we are. The reason is that we might come face to face with the reality that we are hiding, that we have got something to hide, that we have been shamed, that we have disobeyed God, that Jesus loves us, that he has come to bring us into fellowship, that he cares for our soul. This question shows what God is more than Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. Elohim, the creator. But this verse shows infinitely more than the fact that there is a great, mighty being, a mighty force that has created the universe. It shows that somebody cares for our souls. And even in our sins, he calls out and says, where art thou? I've come down, but where are you? Man tries to hide himself from God, but it's impossible. Man tries to hide himself from others by sowing on his own self-righteousness. Man tries to hide himself from himself, lies to himself, hides all his real nature and sins and failings from himself by all kinds of fig leaves he puts around him as though so he cannot see his own nakedness. And he can look down and say, I'm all right. I'm not naked before God. I'm all right. I have sowed 100 excuses to my person and all kinds of religiousness. Many backsliders do not return because they are ashamed to look the pastor in the eye after what they have done. They are ashamed to look their friends in the eye. They are ashamed to come in into the presence of God and to have God feel God's spirit and to know that they have shamed God. And so they stay out there hiding because they are ashamed. There are many Christians that will not accept the mercy of God because they are ashamed and they know that they have let God down. And so they hide from the very one that's calling them, who is full of mercy. What type of fig leaves are you hiding behind tonight? You're saying, well, I was baptized. Is that your fig leaf that you're hiding behind, that you're baptized? My friend, baptism is only the outward sign of the inward faith and the showing of a willingness to walk with God in the newness of life. God honors that. But if you do not walk in the newness of life, then your baptism points to that which has not transpired. If you are not a new creation in God, walking in the newness of life, your baptism then will not save you. It will not save you. It has a purpose. It has a salvation message that gets put you on the road of life. And it works for you. But if you do not follow that which you have said at baptism, now what baptism means, then your baptism will never save you, my friend. Are you hiding behind the confirmation? You had hands laid on you? My friend, if you were confirmed, you were confirmed to do a job for God and live in holiness. And if you do not live in holiness, then your confirmation means nothing because you have gone out of the way. Are you hiding behind the fact that you believe in God? Well, I believe in God. So do the demons. They believe very much. There's not an atheist in all the demons of hell. Every demon is a firm believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he hasn't walked away. Do you say, well, I gave my heart to God? Yes, but you took it back. You can't hide behind it if you took it back. You say, well, I go to church often. Yes, but you're not yielding. It doesn't do any good to go to church if you don't yield. It doesn't do any good to put a car in the garage if you don't fix it when it's in there. It doesn't do any good to take a horse into a barn if you don't feed it when you take him in there. You say, well, I'm religious. Jesus never asked you to be religious. He asked you to be sanctified. Well, I pray much. That's because you're in trouble much. That doesn't mean that you're spiritual. Well, I go to an excellent church, but you don't feed when you get there. It doesn't make any difference how grand the stable is. It can be Rockefeller's beautiful stable in Kentucky he built. But if you don't eat, if a horse doesn't eat when it goes there, it doesn't do them any good. Just sit there and watch others eat. Well, I give good offerings. That's your duty, but it won't save you. Well, I repent often. Yes, but you won't live the life. It doesn't do any good to go to do confession constantly if you don't live the life. Well, I was brought up in a Christian family, but God has no grandsons. Everyone has to be a son of God for himself. But I'm studying for the ministry. Studying doesn't save your life, self. It's walking with God, holding fast the confidence, walking in the Spirit. Well, I keep my sin to a minimum. One sin is damn you to hell. Don't get taken care of between you and God. Well, I feel good. That's because you're deceived. And you're calloused. You seared your conscience with a hot iron, and so you don't feel the heat of the iron when it touches the hand. It doesn't burn anymore to your mind because the line has been cut. Doesn't mean a thing. Well, I do good. So do the moralists. Well, I sacrifice. So do the heathens, more than you, to their gods. Well, I speak in tongues. Yes, you speak in tongues. And if you ever got the interpretation, you might be ashamed. I exercise a gift. Yes, God gives gifts without repentance. The gifts are helping others, but what about yourself? Well, I filio God. So did Peter, and he denied him. Well, I live right to the legal line. Yes, you live to the legal line, but within you're full of dead men's bones. Well, I trust Christ's blood for everything. Yes, for everything except faith to walk with God. You just trust to take care of everything that you're not willing to take care of. But that isn't what the blood is for. If any of these things apply to you, they're fig leaves that'll blow off in the wind and wither and die under the heat of the storm of life. We need to have a lamb covering. When God saw them in the fig leaves, he didn't say, oh, that's fine, Adam. He said, you need to be clothed with a robe of a freshly slain lamb, slain for your sins, for the righteousness of Christ. And God clothed them, instead. He didn't give them the clothes and say, put them on. He said, God said he clothed them. He brought to them a coat made of lambskin, typifying the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, and God clothed them, took the fig leaves off, and says, these will not do. They are of your own making. You need something of my making, of my doing. There is the reason for creation. The whole reason for creation and the whole reason for the atonement is that we might come into the likeness of God. He created man in the image of God, and then he was going to make man in his likeness. As man communicated and associated with God and fellowship with God, he would become like unto God. But he fell before he got a chance to be made like unto God. And so the old covenant was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, and Christ working together with his heavenly Father, and with those whose mantle, his mantle fell upon, us who has taken his place, in the ministries of God, we're all called to be his ministers, then are to go out, and we are making man, bringing man again into the likeness of God as the Holy Spirit is working upon them. And the whole reason is we might be like him. So the whole thing is a vital relationship with God, for without a vital relationship with God, we will never, 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 never be like him. If you love a prince on the far hill in the glorious castle, and you see him ride in his chariot and his white stallion off across the pasture, and you admire him from a distance, and oh, how you love him. And you see how he kills the dragons. You see how he feeds the peasants. You see his regal bearing, his handsomeness. You see his strength. And you love him and you admire him from afar. You can never, never be like him unless you live with him and get to know him and communicate with him. The vital relationship is absolutely necessary. You can love him by reading books about him, but you've got to be with him in his presence to ever really get to know him. And so, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is man hiding from God? Because he partaketh of that which is pleasant to the eyes, and that which desired to make one wise, rather than of the fruit of the tree of life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You might have abundant life. I want you to have abundant life. Not just a little bit of life, but rivers of life flowing. I want abundant life, just super abundant life. Do you know that in Jesus Christ there is super abundant life? But how many Christians have super abundant life? Walking around with their own light shining, with their own fig leaves on, bowed over, messing up their lives, listening to the devil, dialoguing with them, deceived by them, parroting it, living in sin, and they have missed the abundant life. Am I right? Because they have not walked in the Spirit, that they might not fulfill the cravings of the lower nature. God is not asking, and did not ask, where is he? Where is he? He said, where art thou? It's personal. It's direct. He knows where you are. He knew who Adam was. It was like my little daughter, Carolyn, when she was a couple years old. Daddy would play hide-and-go-seek with her. She'd run and hide, and I'd hear a little pat on leather shoes slap on the linoleum floor. Slap, 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 behind the door. Ready! And I would come out across that floor. Where's Carolyn? And he'll giggle over there behind the door. Where's Carolyn? And he'll never giggle behind the door. And I'd go into the bedroom. Where's Carolyn? And I dare not be too long. Or she would jump out and say, here I is. See? And I would find her. And she wouldn't hide again. And slap, 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 slap. Same hiding place. Every time. It always worked before her. Must have been a good one. So surprised to see her. And she just... I could just hear her doing conniptions behind that door. She was so excited. She was just going crazy behind that door practically. See? And there she was. See? hiding from her daddy. She couldn't hide from her father. Her father knew who she was. Man deceives himself because he thinks his soul, somehow, he'll never admit this. His mind doesn't really say it. But something down in his heart makes him feel like that pride that he's got there, that subtle deception, makes him think that his soul is more important to God than others. Somehow, I am going to make it through if nobody else does. Oh, I know that many have gone to hell, but not me. See, I won't. Even though I'm living in sin, even though you're living carelessly, even though you're not doing a thing, even though you haven't done anything for the last 10 years, there's something inside that says, well, God loves me, I won't go to hell. We think that, man thinks that his faults are the most excusable. See? Other people's are bad, but somehow his are excusable. He thinks that God will save him, though he'll not spare others. He'll think he'll make it, though others do not make it. He thinks his denials are more meritorious to God than others. He thinks his trials are more bitter than others. He thinks his conditions are more excusable. He thinks his virtues are greater. Or else, if he doesn't, he thinks exactly the opposite. He thinks there's no hope. My faults are worse than everybody else. Everybody's more important to God than me. God saves everybody, but he won't save me. I can't make it the way everybody else does. I can't do things at all. I'm in terrible shape and just no hope. And the devil will either push you one way or he'll push you the other. But if you're down and you haven't got anything and everything's going wrong and you're not anything, the blood of Jesus Christ will make up all the difference between you and the highest saint if you'll just apply it to your life by faith and walk in it. And walk in the promise of it. Many people are hiding from God. You say, are we really hiding from God? Oh, yes, 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 yes. We are hiding from God by not reading the Bible. We don't even read his love letters. How long have you had his love letter? Have you read it all? Oh, well, I haven't read all of it. Oh, you haven't read all of his love letter to you. Haven't read all of his instruction book. They don't read it to find life and keep finding the new joys in it. In fact, many people hide from God when they read the Bible because they're looking for theological argument. And they don't see God in here. They're finding arguments. They're finding theology instead of God. See? Oh, this is an exciting book. Oh, I can prove, I'm going to prove those old guys wrong. I'm going to prove those Jehovah Witnesses. I'm going to get after those old agnostics. I'm going to... But they're hiding from God. God's trying to talk to them through this living book. And they're hiding from God all the time they're reading it. Many people are hiding from God by not praying. Some people hide from God when they pray. And all the time they're praying, they're hiding from God. They don't feel his spirit. They're too busy groaning about their own misery, looking at themselves, even preaching the devil's doctrine all the time they're praying. And never reach the throne of grace with it. God says, I know no such thing. I do not know any such doctrine away with it. If you're going to talk to me, you're going to have to talk about on my truth level, not on the devil's level. Many people hide from God by not worshiping God. Many people hide from God by they're not worshiping. They're just finding feelings in the flesh and dancing around and having a lot of fleshly fun. They're having a kind of spiritual hoedown. And so they're hiding from God all the time they're worshiping. Some people are hiding from God by not yielding to God. They don't yield until they're hiding from God. Have you ever been in a service and you heard God speak to your heart and say, where art thou? You're singing mechanically. The song's going on mechanically. And you ever stop and all of a sudden the thought would be put in your heart, what am I doing? Where art thou? Where art thou? Oh, let's see. Well, I guess I'm standing here singing. I'm still on tune. I guess I must have been singing. You must have been singing. You must have been singing praises unto me. Your heart was indicted with a good matter. Well, it's on page 143 in the big book. Is what I was singing. You were singing the black type off of the page of the book. You weren't singing the song to the Lord at all. Go art thou? Oh, I was daydreaming. I was home cooking my roast, and I was out sailing afterwards in the bay. Who art thou? Oh, I was watching others worship. That's what I was doing. Who art thou? Oh, I was sitting in the churchyard, but I was standing outside the camp. Everybody was there worshiping and praising, but I was kind of looking from afar off, just watching them. Who art thou? Well, I was dialoguing with the devil. That's what I was. He was saying, you can't do it. And I was saying, yeah, I know it. And he was saying, and I was talking, and him and I were talking in my mind is what I was doing. Who art thou? Well, I was criticizing. I thought that person's dress was too short, and that person had the hair too long and the hair too short and too long, or whatever the case may be. And I thought that person dressed too loud, and I thought that pastor talked too long, and that person made a mistake, and that person should have got up before that. But I was criticizing. That's who I was, Lord. I was so busy criticizing, I forgot to be in touch with you. Do you know that happens in church? Maybe I'm not talking to the right church, but yeah. The patriarch said, I have heard thee by the hearing of mine ear, but now mine eye has seen thee. I've heard of thee. Many people are like that. I have heard of thee. Oh, yes, Lord, I hear you every Sunday. But can you say, but now mine eye hath seen thee? Let's come out from hiding, shall we? You remember the Shulamite, who was, as it were, hiding from the Lord? She shut both eyelids over her eyes, shut them out, and went to sleep. She just turned her hearing aid off, as it were, left them there, her lover in her presence, and she just went to sleep. So he got up and left. She got up and found him gone, and wondered how come he was gone. He ever went to sleep and woke up and found him gone and wondered why he was gone? He went to sleep right during the revival. He went to sleep right during the move of God. You come to church and you spend all your time walking up and down the hall and carrying babies around so you don't have to pray, and talking to somebody so you don't have to pray, and you were looking at somebody and helping the kids draw pictures on the pages and handing them books so you won't have to listen to the pastor's sermons. You weren't even in church, my friend. Mothers, careful of that. The devil will have your children. He'll see to it if he can. I know that you have to take care of them. I understand all of that. But you know, it can be an excuse. He can have you so busy with those. He'll put the squirmels in them. He'll give them squirmels they never had before, just to keep you so busy that you don't have a chance to listen. You'll get a chance to. You'll have everything to do around the church. You won't have any time to pray. Where art thou? Are you out working in the harvest field? You're laying over beneath the shade tree making daisy chains. What are you doing? Working at the mill? You're working out in the harvest field of God. You're standing firm upon the rock of ages? Or are you slogging through shifting sand of men's ideas and traditions and out in the world? Are you anchored firmly to the rock? Or are you drifting with the sea, and whichever way the wind blows, you're drifting. My mother is nearing 75 years old. She's just fallen apart in her body. My father's in good shape physically, kept in good shape all of his life. My mother's had some bad falls, and she's had a lot of problems, and she's just about blind, and she's had bad falls, and she's got lots and lots and lots of problems. But your constitution is like iron. Her faith, she says, I was over this the other day. She didn't want to listen to tapes of the Bible. She gets to get a magnifying glass looking for tunnel vision. She said, the darker it gets, the faster I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be healed, there's no doubt about it, no other way. She says, I don't care what. The faster it gets black, the faster I get light. And she says, when I get to see again, I can take anything. I can just be able to see again. But I know, she said, and she's so positive. She never complains. She's got so much pains that she doesn't take an aspirin. She never complains. She's got so many problems that any person here would be driven practically crazy. She goes on steady, and she could pass away any time. And in fact, it'd be better if she went on to glory than be in pain too long. I asked my father, I said, Dad, you're prepared to find a body, find a tent with mother out of it someday, on these days, to find her gone? You're prepared psychologically? He st- stood and looked me in the eye and said, I am prepared for anything. The devil would come down, he said, and tell me, I'm taking over this world. He'd say, I know what the Bible says, you won't have long. It makes no difference what happens, I've got it all settled. And I knew that he knew, and that the devil knew that he knew, and that God knew that he knew. He settled it a long time ago. He's steadfast. No matter what happens, it's all settled with him. There's no blowing around. You couldn't pry him loose. He's got it all dug in, trenched, settled, iron board, chained down, cemented. He's not going to move. That's where my mother is. And knowing whom they have believed, they're going to get a crown of glory, too. Where art thou? You in the way or are you on the way? Or are you coming toward the way? I think there's too many people content with being on the way to the way. Well, I'm working on it. I'm on the way to the way. See? But why the long delay? I'm talking now to some of you that have been sitting here in this church. And you've been on the way to the way for too long. It's about time you got there. It's about time you got to the path. It keeps eluding you somehow. You must overshoot it each time. Or something. The word is nigh in thy mouth. Speak it. The armor of God is available. Put it on. The oil is healed. Fill your lamp. The fire is falling. Light your lamp. The shepherd is healed. Follow him. The book is open. Read it. The blood of Christ has been shed. Get under it. Christ has broken the prison bars. Walk out. God has given you a blank check. Write on it and cash it. The window of heaven. God is calling. Unplug your ears and pay attention. In closing, I'm going to read, come to the piano please, a few verses. I'm going to tie them all together. I'm not going to give you references. I just put a few verses together. Parts of verses, line them together. Notice, where art thou? God is calling. Unto this church of God, called to be saints. Called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Called unto his kingdom in glory. Called unto a holy calling. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his glory, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Where art thou, Adam? Thou son of Adam, thou man of the earth, thou son of God, where art thou? I have come down to commune with thee. Art thou hiding in thy sins? Would you stand, please?